are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news with a local perspective. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, federal NDP transport critic and MP for Skeena-Bulkley Valley, Taylor Bacharach, was bringing attention to Canada's outdated and inefficient passenger train infrastructure last week as he rode the train home for Christmas from Ottawa to Smithers, BC. Canada, especially communities in Northwest BC, were built by the railroad and still have a deep connection to that history. However, after more than a century, the rail infrastructure in this country is the worst within the G7. Canada is the only G7 country to not have some form of high-speed rail transport. Increasing freight train schedules and the North American car culture has made it virtually impossible for past governments to invest in efficient, reliable passenger train service in Canada, and rural communities are getting the short end of the stick. Before the House rose for Christmas break, Bacharach introduced a new private members bill, Bill C-371, the Rail Passenger Priority Act, which would give passenger trains priority when they share the tracks with freight, especially the further west you get from Ottawa. The United States has a similar law already in place. Via Rail only owns 3% of the tracks in Canada, and the rest is owned by private companies like CN, which owns about 48% of the tracks in Canada, and CP Rail, which owns about 30% of the tracks in the country. While Via Rail's on-time performance on tracks it owns is over 90%, that drops to about 60% on tracks Via Rail does not own. After 6 days on the rails, I joined Bacharach for the final 50 kilometers from Houston to Smithers to find out what Bacharach heard from passengers along the way and what the uphill battle looks like as he tries to gain support for his private members bill in the new year. Stay with us. Anyone who lives in Northwest BC knows that the train, although pleasant and charming, is not a viable travel service. On Saturday, it was almost 40 minutes late getting into Houston. When I arrived at the condemned and dilapidated Via Rail train station, it was the perfect personification of the current situation on passenger trains in Canada. Old and run down. Why then should people support Bacharach's new private members bill? Do many people even use the train much these days? Or would more people use it if the service was any better? I found Bacharach chatting with patrons about exactly that at the back of the train in the small lounge car Via has been using for the past 70 years.
This is Taylor Bacharach, the Member of Parliament for Skeena-Bulkley Valley, and I'm sitting in the park car at the back of train number 5, the Rupert Rocket. And we're between Houston and Telqua, going along the Bulkley River. Sun setting, 2 o'clock, 2 days after solstice, and heading home after about a 5,000 kilometer train journey all the way from Toronto.
Right on. Thanks, Taylor. The Rupert Rocket. So speaking of rocket and speed, how has it been these last few days? It's taken at least 4 days to get this far. What's the schedule been like? Because usually it's, generally speaking, not on time all the time.
Not on time all the time. That's a good way of putting it. All the way from Toronto, it's actually been pretty reasonable. And it sounds from talking to the VIA employees like things have been getting incrementally better in terms of on-time performance. But really, this trip was about trying to experience the reality of passenger rail in Canada and a chance to talk to passengers about, you know, a vision for what Canada would look like if we had better passenger rail service.
What precipitated this trip? It sounds like you are working on a private members bill that would prioritize passenger rail. But you also mentioned a couple other things about The differences that you've seen kind of different sections along the way of how passenger train has been moving this time around. So tell me a little bit about this private members bill.
Sure. So this trip was about a number of things, but first and foremost, I had to get home for Christmas, and I've flown across the country probably 100 times this year already, and I was looking for something a little bit different than Air Canada, a little bit of a break. And like I said, it was also a chance to talk to passengers. But last Thursday in the House of Commons, I tabled Bill C-371, which is the Rail Passenger Priority Act. This is my private member's bill, which seeks to change Canadian law and give passenger trains priority on shared tracks. One of the big challenges in Canada is that because the tracks are shared with freight, and because we have an increasing volume of freight being shipped up and down the rail corridor, passenger trains frequently have to pull off onto sidings and wait for freight trains, and that makes it difficult for them to maintain a predictable schedule. And of course, if you can't deliver a predictable schedule for passengers, then people aren't going to use it for everyday transportation, because you need to know when you're going to get to your destination. And so one of the easy fixes, one of the things we can do as a country to make the passenger train system more usable for people is to help the trains run on time. And my bill seeks to do that. And it actually follows some remarks from the CEO of Via Rail, Mario Pelliquin, who just a few weeks ago in the media was saying that Canada needs a law like this that gives passenger trains priority. They have a law like that in the States. Amtrak trains have priority. And it would be a bit of a game changer. Of course, there are many other changes that are needed if Canada is going to catch up to the rest of the world. Right now, we're lagging far behind other countries. But this is a fairly simple change. Obviously, it comes with some complexities around also ensuring that freight makes its way to its destination in a reasonable amount of time. It's an important part of the economy. But we're talking about moving people across a vast country. And we're living in a time of climate crisis, and we're living at a time when rural communities have fewer public transportation options than ever. We lost Greyhound entirely from this country, and even with the patchwork of bus services that have been put in place since it left, it's still really bad out there if you don't have your own car. There are a lot of seniors living in our communities who don't drive, and people deserve to be able to get where they need to go. So passenger rail is just an incredible way to move through the landscape, and I think as other countries have shown, Canada could be doing a lot better.
We talked about earlier that, you know, a nation building project was the rail line at one point. All these communities up in the Northwest BC, obviously tied to that history in one way or another. But it seems like it's obviously gone by the wayside. We're the only G7 nation that doesn't have high-speed rail. Even the U.S. has some high-speed rail or faster rail than we do. What does this look like kind of on that kind of global stage? You know, we're lagging behind. Public transit is few and far between in most of our major cities. It's really difficult. We talked about Toronto. It's been, you know, looks the same for 50 years almost. So what are you hearing about that, and how to improve this across the board? Because this wouldn't only apply to rail traffic, to via rail. This would apply to all passenger traffic.
Yeah, that's right. And when you look at Canada as a whole, we have a lot of work to do to catch up to peer countries. Right now, the federal government has put forward a plan to build a new dedicated passenger rail line between Toronto and Quebec City. That's the most densely populated corridor in Canada. It also has the largest passenger load for Via Rail. And 80% of Via Rail's revenue comes from what they call the corridor between Toronto and Quebec City. So, you know, going back to 2016, Via Rail actually brought forward a proposal to build something called high frequency rail, which would essentially be a dedicated line running fairly conventional trains going slightly higher speeds. I think they were looking at around 160 kilometers an hour. Right now, the train from Ottawa to Montreal goes pretty regularly 130 kilometers an hour. So going a little bit faster, but having more trains more frequently. And since then, the project has really morphed. Under the previous transport minister, Omar Al-Ghabra, there was a real change in the project, and the new vision is to essentially privatize that line. They've put out a call for proposals to the private sector, and there are three consortia of giant firms that are putting forward proposals to the federal government. And the government's vision, as they articulated in their request for expressions of interest, is to have these private partners finance, construct, and operate that new line. And not only the new line, but also the conventional passenger service that currently operates along that corridor. So essentially, what the government's talking about is privatizing passenger rail between Toronto and Quebec City, taking that 80% of Via Rail's revenue and handing it over to the private sector to make private profits. And my big concern, as someone who represents Northwest BC, and as someone whose heart is really with the rural communities of our country, that's going to leave Via Rail with really just the remnants of their current passenger network. And the worry is that they're not going to be able to remain a viable entity with those rural routes that they currently operate, like up to Churchill, Manitoba, the train we're on right now, the Skeena. And so we could, you know, if this all transpires, the concern is that we would see service cutbacks and route cancellations in the future. This is what advocates with Transport Action Canada have said is their projection of what would happen. So I think there's a different path. This is very much what we in the NDP are advocating for, is a different way. We support building new passenger rail in the corridor. That's a great idea. Canada's densest, most populated cities should be connected by high-speed, high-frequency rail. But let's do it in a way that enhances the capacity of Via Rail to deliver passenger services across Canada. And I think that's very possible. We just have to have a bit of a different vision, one that puts the public good first and the passengers first. And, you know, if we took that path, we could see more investment in trains like this, the Rupert Rocket, that this could really, you know, in a post-Greyhound world, this could be the mode of choice for getting up and down this corridor. So,
because right now it's you know, lagging way behind. Looking up kind of the stats before, we've only seen about, you know, 250,000 passengers in on Via Rail this year in 2023. Although the revenue is growing, they don't own very much of these rail lines. CN 3%. They own 3% of the line. So even if this, you know, bill does get some legs, and we look about prioritizing passenger traffic, how is this going to sit with, you know, the companies like CNCP who actually own the rail and are the freight distributors?
Sure. Yeah, CN and CP are making a lot of money right now moving freight. And like I said, that's an important part of our economy. It employs a lot of folks in our region. But we have to strike the right balance between the need for passenger transportation and the need for freight movement. And, you know, part of the picture, in addition to this bill that I've tabled, is building more infrastructure. If we build more sidings, it will smooth the flow of rail and allow trains to get by each other. So that's part of the picture as well. But other countries have done it. The United States has a law that gives passenger trains priority. And, you know, I think it would make our passenger rail system much more viable. And that's part of the key to expanded use and getting more passengers on the train. You know, especially in the winter here in the Northwest, people don't always want to be driving on bad roads. This is an incredible way to travel. You got the dome car, you got this, you know, it's relaxing. For families, you know, you try taking 3 or 4 kids and cramming them in a minivan and taking them on a 6-hour drive. We were on the train yesterday coming from McBride to Prince George, and there was a family with 4 kids, and they were all running around the train and having fun. And, you know, it's a pretty great atmosphere, a great way to get around.
All that being said, and as we've, you know, talked to a few people, who most people love the train, you know, there's no one that we've talked to that doesn't have some sort of affinity for the train. Clearly the passenger ridership isn't there right now. How are we going to generate that ridership to enhance a lot of these passenger trains when we live in this culture? You know, we've lived in this culture for a long time of the car.
Yeah, there's a great quote from urban planning that says, you don't build a bridge based on the number of people swimming across the river. You know, the reality is that we need to have a vision for the future. And the future is going to be one in which we move around differently, we use energy differently, and passenger rail is a great way to do that. It's efficient, it's affordable, it's super safe, and it requires government leadership to get there. And that's the kind of leadership that at one time we had in this country. At one time passenger rail was something that was highly prioritized by the federal government. And what we saw over the years was really the dominance of, you know, private vehicles and air travel, and all of that has really come at the cost of passenger rail and bus transport. Those options now just barely exist in many parts of our country. Yeah. So it's a nation building exercise, and it's something, you know, we need to look decades down the road and come up with a plan for where we want to be. And I've been really struck on this trip talking to people. There's a huge amount of support for passenger rail. People really see it. Either they're of an age that they remember a time in Canada when passenger rail was more mainstream, more functional, or they've traveled to other countries around the world that have high performing rail systems and they've experienced that and they want that for their own country. So I think that's a good foundation to build on. And there are a bunch of steps we need to take. One of them is passenger priority, which my private member's bill looks at. The other thing is that Via Rail has replaced its fleet on the corridor with new trains made by Siemens, the brand new train sets. But the long distance fleet, trains like the one we're on right now, they were built in 1954. Like these are really kind of rolling museum pieces. And the reality is that they're coming very close to the end of their safe, useful life. So the federal government needs to commit the investment necessary to replace these train sets with new ones. The procurement process and the manufacturing process takes a bunch of time. And so, you know, they say that by 2035, these trains are going to have to be retired. The lead time we need for that process to replace the trains means that we got to get cracking now as a country. So we're going to be putting pressure on the federal government to make those decisions and make sure VIA has the investment that it needs.
Yeah, 50s. The CICK train car isn't that much older, you know, the 40s, 30 era there. So, you know, we know all about, you know, those types of conditions. The last thing, just leaving it on this issue of support, you know, private members' bills don't necessarily always become laws, but it sounds like you're getting some traction with this and some support. What do you need to do to get the support you need in the House to see this move forward? Do you have any support from other parties around this? And then where does this go next?
Yeah, good question. So I tabled this just before the House rose for the Christmas break. So when I get back, I'll be looking forward to talking to other MPs about it and trying to generate support. Like I said, the support from the public, we've received well over 100 emails from all across the country, people who heard about this and want to offer their support. So I think it is an idea that has momentum. Like you said, private members' bills have a long road in terms of being made into law. But my hope is that the federal government will take the ideas that are in this bill and add them to a government bill and prioritize them in the legislative process. And that we could see this, they have the ability to move this forward quite quickly. And my hope is that they're listening and will act accordingly. That, you know, one of the other changes we'd love to see is legislation that gives Via Rail a mandate. Unlike Amtrak in the United States, there's no legislative mandate for the Crown Corporation that is Via Rail. And so, you know, former NDP MPs, Green Party MP Elizabeth May, several MPs have brought forward bills in the past that would have created a legislative mandate. That's an idea that is still very much needed. So all of these are pieces of the puzzle when it comes to expanding and improving passenger rail service in Canada. And the hope is that the government will see that this isn't an anachronism. This isn't something from a bygone era. This is a viable, modern form of passenger transportation that deserves to be prioritized, deserves investment, and should be part of Canada's future.
have been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.